Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Have we got a star that has made some 80 films and TV appearances in her career? But perhaps one movie catapulted her to real stardom, although it was short-lived due to who the director was and his being a total control freak. Who was this star? Well, let me share my feelings after seeing the movie. I was careful to sidestep flocks of birds that seemed like maybe they didn't like me. I'm Mary Jane Popp with my producer, Kenneth Segura-Knoll, and we will explore her life as well as hear her firsthand how her mention made for life really a nightmare on Pop Star Talk. Ken, can you guess who the star is and what the movie was?
The birds.
Yes. And seriously, I mean, I would go, you know, in the park, I'd go for my walk with the dogs and everything. And if I'd see a flock of birds for a long time after that movie, it was like, are they going to stay there? Are they coming after me? Mm-hmm. And the birds in that movie, well, it was a variety of birds, but they were those big blackbirds and they get huge. It's amazing.
Anytime I'm around a bunch of birds, they usually poop on me.
Oh, they.
I wondered when they were shooting these scenes, did they have to stop and reshoot over and over because maybe the birds would poop on the actors? And
it could happen. You know, birds don't say, got to take a potty break now. You know, just they do what they need to do when they need to do it. And that's about it.
Right, right.
It was an incredible movie.
She's an incredible actress and worked with the classic director, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, Tippi Hedren.
Yeah, the interesting about Alfred Hitchcock is that he would storyboard every shot.
Really?
And then he would give it to his crews and say, go shoot it, you know. And because most of these shots, there's no dialogue or anything. They were just getting each shot that was on the storyboard so that they could cut the scene exactly as Alfred Hitchcock had storyboarded it out.
I was told by several other people that he was a total control freak. Even with Tippi Hedren, I don't know about the other stars that he worked with, but of course she was what they used to call a Hitchcock girl. We're going to get into that with her. But he controlled everything. Her hairstyle, her makeup, her clothes, even how she walked and talked. Total control. Now, you'd think, well, he was trying to be a good person. Not necessarily so. He wanted it his way. He was not willing to listen or experience anything different than what he wanted. And that could be very cruel to a person because you become a product. You're not any longer a human being. You are a product in his hands.
Well, not a product. Maybe you become a prop.
That's good. Yeah, good analogy.
You know, so you're a prop in the director's set. And he's putting the props and then every place he wants it and exactly how he wants it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do have to do an update. We did Tippi Hedren, just a little snippet of it in our pilot show. At that time, there was a rumor going around that she had dementia. Well, the rumor is not true. It started in London. I think it was with the Mirror, the newspaper there, the Mirror. And someone said that they thought she had dementia. Well, it just got blown out of proportion. What happened, and I just found out from a very, very reliable source who knows her and talks with her almost daily. She is 95 years old now, and she had, I'm not sure exactly how far back she had surgery. And so she was under anesthetic. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the older you get, when you're under anesthetic, it does cause some loss of memory. Mm-hmm. You know, as you would think, is dementia. Well, it's not. And it's coming back slowly but surely. So that whole thing about dementia was a crap.
Well, maybe we can get her on again.
Well, that might be a problem because her family has basically decided that it's time for her not to have to do anything anymore. And that includes Melanie Griffith, which is her daughter, and the grandchildren, Dakota Johnson and Stella Banderas. I had to look up the names because I was checking things out. Because Melanie Griffith, of course, was married. Melanie Griffith's name was from her mom, Tippi Hedren. She was married to a gentleman by the last name of Griffith. But Dakota Johnson was born when Melanie Griffith was married to Don Johnson, the actor. And then Stella Banderas was born to Melanie Griffith when Antonio Banderas was the father. So it's a generational family, which is great. And they're very close. You'll hear more in the interview about how family is very important to her. But they've pretty much made a decision that, you know, it's time for her just to rest and not necessarily do any interviews anymore. That doesn't mean I won't keep trying, but it's one of those things where I have to respect that too. You know, she worked very, very hard for a very long time and had a lot of problems. And that's what I wanted to find out more about in the interview. And this interview was done in 2016. So she was quite viable at the time and had a lot of stories for me. So anyway, I guess Tippi Hedren was a picture of grace and elegance, along with such honesty back in 2016, when she and I had this great conversation. This woman that we're going to be talking to is extraordinary. Her career has been stellar. To say that she's an icon would be putting it mildly. And I am just so thrilled to talk with her. I had a wonderful conversation with her. And I remembered it to this day because she was so sincere and so honest. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'm going to start out with playing the theme from this movie. And you'll know exactly who I mean. I'll tell you, after I saw the movie The Birds, I was very aware of any kind of blackbird or crow that was around me for years. But this gal, man, she is a Hollywood icon, one of the biggest names of classic Hollywood and one of the most famous Hitchcock girls. Tippi Hedren, of course. And she wants you to know about her fascinating life, including some behind-the-scenes stories. In her new memoir, Tippi, she delves into so much of her private life, including how a simple film like Roar became dangerous to her family, which, incidentally, is a family of actors. Does daughter Melanie Griffith sound familiar, or granddaughter Dakota Johnson? Well, they should. And then there's Roar, the Roar Foundation, and the Shambhala Preserve. I can just go on and on and on. This gal is absolutely incredible. Tippi, nice to have you with us on the show.
Well, I'm delighted. Thank you. That was a lovely introduction.
So how did your activism for animals begin?
When I was born.
Oh, when you I love it.
When I was born. I've always loved animals and all thinking, feeling beings on our planet are important, and they're here for a reason, and it always fascinated me. I grew up with the puppy and the kitten and that sort of thing. And
Were you the type of kid that just picked up all the animals in the neighborhood and brought them home?
Oh, yeah, as many as my mother would allow.
I think that's great. So how did you graduate from puppies and kittens to cats and tigers and lions?
I was just lucky, actually. I married a man who was very adventuresome. He was also a director and a producer. And I did two films in Africa, and he went with me during those times. And while we were there, we became aware. This was in 1969 and 1970.
Uh-huh.
And during those years, environmentalists all over the world were telling us, people of the world, that if we didn't do something right then to save and rescue the wild animals by the year 2000, they would all be gone just due to encroaching civilization, sport hunting, and poaching.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we, we're thinking about this issue, and we said, let's do a movie about it, about the animals in the wild. And And we chose our, we chose the great cat as our movie star. Well, that's a romantic notion, isn't it?
Well, not romantic, but, well, you know, to a certain extent it could be.
Well,
but
yes, it is, because they are so beautiful.
Oh, they are gorgeous.
And elegant and marvelous. They're also apex predators.
Yeah, which, absolutely.
Which we sort of didn't really think about too much, you know.
You actually put the whole family at risk by doing this movie, didn't you?
Well, we kind of did, yes. We were all hurt.
No kidding?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, we survived. I mean, nobody was killed.
Oh,
which is
wow.
a good thing.
So, but you know, we don't think of the, like you said, they're just so gorgeous. You want to touch them. You want to be a
yes.
part of them. And you don't realize, like you said, they're wild. These are predators.
Yes, and they have instinctual dictates, and they can come up in a second. So anyway, the whole thing turned out to be, the movie wasn't a great success. It was called Roar,
mm-hmm.
like the lion's roar.
Yeah.
But what did come out of that was, while we were doing the movie, we needed animals. We needed lion and tiger to perform. And all of the owners of those animals for the movies, the trainers, they read the script and said, I'm not going to let my cat work with a cat it doesn't know. They'd kill each other.
Oh, my.
Get your own animals to do the movie. Well, that sentence alone changed my life. Because the first one was a rescue.
Nice.
And it was a little lion cub. And pretty soon we had four little lion cubs destroying my house. And
you had them in your house?
Well, they were little.
Yeah, okay.
but they were
cute, right?
And they're cute. And you know what? Every one of them is an individual destruction manufacturer.
Yeah, I bet.
They really are. They are absolute. And they don't care about your furniture or whatever. They just don't care. So anyway, pretty soon I had seven little lions running around my house.
Oh, my
gosh. Which
is,
of course, illegal. And as they grew, one of them looked over the fence, and the neighbor looked up and said, "That is a lion."
Oh,
and
gosh.
The next day, pounding on the door, my front door, oh, it was animal control.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, you can't have these animals in the city. And I explained to him that they weren't going to be with us very long, that we're doing a movie. He said, "Yeah, you've got that right, lady. You've got 24 hours to get them off the property."
Ooh.
And we knew about this place that I now, the Roar Foundation owns, and I live here, and I love it. And so we asked Steve Martin, the trainer who owned it, if we could board our little lions and tigers, and he said, sure.
Oh.
And from then on, we became known as this couple who were accepting animals, and all of a sudden, we were aware of a whole lot of people who had purchased a darling little lion cub or a little tiger cub, and they couldn't handle them.
Oh,
and we had
God.
Close to 100 animals here at one time.
No way. Serious?
Yes. Seriously.
Wow.
And so eventually I kind of thought, why doesn't our government have laws preventing people from breeding these apex predators to be sold as a pet? And there was no law, no nothing. So I went to my own congressman, and he said, "Tippy, it's a huge business. You're never going to get this passed." So I went on a real rampage about it all and was telling all of these officials in our government, "These are apex predators, and you people are the only ones who can stop this insanity." I named off, I don't know how many, 20 serious accidents out of the over 100 that had happened.
Mm.
And it passed unanimously, and President Bush signed it on December 7th of 2003.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, I feel really good about it, because I feel like I've saved some lives.
Oh, yeah, on both yeah. sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, your background has been incredible. And I mean, you speak up, you speak out. I love to see that in a person, especially when you're passionate about something. But going back, do you mind being called a Hitchcock girl?
Not at all. Why?
Okay, I'm just curious, because
yeah.
it was kind of a complicated relationship between you and Hitch, wasn't it?
Well, no, I wasn't the first one.
Okay.
wasn't the first, and I never will be. I mean, this happens. It's legion. With as long as there is man and woman, there will be those problems. And my suggestion to every woman is, don't even let it get started.
Really?
If that sort of situation starts, get out. No matter what kind of a job you have, if you love your job, whatever. If that's what it takes, just get out. Do not become involved in it.
He actually started out, I mean, for you, was kind of a benefactor, but then it was control freak, and I can see that with Hitchcock.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I wasn't the first one.
But did you know about the other ones?
Not till it just started happening with me.
Wow.
And then, you know, then people say, well, this happened and that happened and whatever. And I did get out. He said he'd ruin my career, and I said, do what you have to do.
Jeez.
And he did try. He kept me under contract, and I couldn't work. And I don't know how many movies I was asked to do after I got out of The Birds and Marnie.
So what, I mean, obviously he could hold a contract over you or, you know, try and not let you work and that type of thing. What other kinds of things? I mean, was there any sexual harassment?
Well, no, there wasn't because I didn't let it happen.
Good for you.
I mean, as soon as it started, I got out.
Ah.
And he said, I'll ruin your career. And he did try. He did for a while.
Amazing. You know,
isn't it awful?
Isn't it funny?
It really makes me mad.
And the thing is, it's still going on today. You know, they try and say it's not. It does.
Yes, it does. And you know what? Since man and woman were created, that's when it started.
I tell you, you're right. But you have to be strong enough. I mean, that was pretty gutsy for you to do what you did.
Well, you know, I had a really, really wonderful set of parents. And who taught my sister and me some very, very good morals. And we were good Lutherans. And, you know, I am so grateful to my parents for doing this for my sister and me,
mm-hmm.
to bring us up with thought patterns and morals and strength.
Yeah. You know? And I'm not sure that much of that exists these days. It's so wide open.
Either.
You know,
and
it's sort of like do whatever. And
mm-hmm.
it's not good. I want to get your read on this. I think part of it has to do with social media.
Oh, I think you're right. I think we are so much has been opened to us that never was before.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has such a lackadaisical attitude about sex and relationships and all of that. And that's sad.
Well, they don't want to work at a relationship anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, and relationships, you got to work at them to make them successful.
Yes, you do.
And doggone it, you know, where did we get off track that says, you know, well, you don't put the toothpaste tube, you squeeze it the wrong way, and that's it, we're separated. Come on.
It's so silly, but you're right.
I mean, some of it seems that stupid.
Will do.
Yeah, it seems that stupid in so many ways. I don't know, what your marriage status is now or whatever.
I am not.
You're not.
I am not.
Okay.
Three times and out.
Three times and out. I love her attitude was just always so doggone special. And to fight back Alfred Hitchcock, I mean, come on. At that time, he was at the top of his game. Oh, there's that little bell again. Did you have a thought, Ken?
No, I that was not my bell.
Oh, it wasn't your bell?
That must have been your bell.
There you go. Okay, I've got a thought here for you. To fight back against what some of that stuff that was going on, and I'm sure there were some that did not fight back. And he always had, if you notice, the stars of his movies, the females, were always beautiful blonde women. I don't know if they all had blue eyes, but I'm sure they're pretty close. But anyway, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, she was a glamour girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know how they found her? It was a commercial that she did, and he took one glimpse. I guess he had a knack for picking out talent. She turned to look at someone in that commercial, and immediately that's the one he wanted. That's the one he wanted. He picked them. He could pick them right. But I don't think he treated him right, which was, I mean, to hold her back, hold the contract and won't let her work anymore. That's not good. Not good. Yeah. But anyway, I guess that's what life is all about. Sometimes it's good stuff and sometimes it's bad stuff. You got to live with the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly. Don't you think?
We are all human.
Well,
good and bad.
There's a few people that I kind of wonder about the human aspect, but that's okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's wonderful talking to her. And we're going to go back in a minute because there's so many other things that, you know, from her childhood and how she started. But can you imagine having 7 or 8 baby lion cubs running around your house, tearing it up? But she loved them, you know, didn't matter to her.
Yes. I knew a person who had a small cub lion for a short while. That's not good. Don't do it.
No. Well, it's not legal anyway.
It's not legal, but it's people do it and don't do it. You know,
what do you think the mentality behind that is? Is it kind of like they give you the power because you don't have the power by having an animal that's as strong like that?
Well, for women, they're cute. That's it.
Well, when they're babies, they're not so cute when they get big and start growling at you, you know, because they're still a wild animal.
For men, it's a status.
You think so?
It's like having the fastest car.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess. It's a life, though. You know, a car is a thing. An animal is a life, you know?
True.
And you just shouldn't take advantage of that. But I guess that's just what life is all about, right?
So, you know, I just find it interesting that her son-in-law is Antonio Banderas.
Mm-hmm. You haven't gotten past that, huh?
No.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas. I don't know if they're still married to them or not.
Yeah, yes, they're still married. I saw an interview the other day.
You did?
Okay. He's happily married, according to him.
To Melanie Griffith?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. Good. Good. Well, she found the right one. But I love Tippy's comment. Oh, 3 times and you're out.
She strikes you out.
That's it. Anyway, let's get back to some more of that information. Now you know me, folks, and I'm kind of nosy. Well, okay, all right. I'm a lot nosy. So I had to ask Tippy Hedren, what makes her happy?
I think because I'm content with my decisions. When a door opens to me, and you know, I almost called my book "The Open Door."
I like that.
Because I've had so many doors open to me, and fortunately, the ones I have walked through have been a success. And I kind of think of other doors that were open to me, and I said, "Uh-uh, not going there." So all of our lives we have doors open to us, and mm-hmm. I was just very careful of what I saw at the other side and looked through and, you know, saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if it was too ugly, I didn't go through it.
Good for you.
Or if it just wasn't ugly at all, you know, that was the best kind.
And I assume that you passed that on to Melanie, too.
Oh, I think so.
Good for you. Well, you know.
And Dakota.
Absolutely. But you know what? It is done by example. You know.
I think it is. Yeah.
You can tell somebody all you want, but if you don't do it and you just say, do what I tell you to do, but don't do what I do, they're not going to listen.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah. A couple of people that I've talked to lately said, what is your teaching method? And I said, visual, acting, living with. And I said, the best thing you can do is be a good parent, a good person, a good worker, honest.
A good human being.
Yes.
And we're getting so away from that. The social media, some of the stuff that's being said on social media, and I've had people on the air, and they say, oh, well, you know, the social media is subject to the same rules that you are on radio and television. I said, that's bullcrap.
No, it isn't.
I said, try and find
them. Say whatever you want.
Yeah. And, you know, and unfortunately, what worries me, and I want to get your read on this, young people think that if it's on the Internet, it's got to be true.
Yeah, well, we've got to change that.
You betcha. You betcha. Because, like you said, anybody can say anything they want. I don't know how valid it is.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious. Do you have a philosophy of life?
I guess I do, and I guess it's so big that I can't even begin to talk about it. But if you're doing something that you know isn't right, you know it, and stop it.
Good.
Just stop it.
I like that.
If you're hurting somebody or whatever, stop it. If you're doing something illegal, stop it. If you're unkind, stop it. You know.
And you can do all of those at any stage in your life.
Yes, you can. It's never too late. It is never too late to change your ways.
Amazing. Okay, one more thing. This is a personal thing. Stand out 2 or 3 feet from you, and you're looking back at you. You're looking back at Tippi. And in, maybe 25 words or less, tell me who Tippi Hedren is.
Oh, what a mean question.
I know.
Oh, that's just terrible.
I love finding out about people. You know, your career, God, everybody knows you're fantastic and the career that you've had. But I'd like just to know how you view yourself.
I'm not always pleased with myself, but I try to be as thoughtful as I can, and I try to plan ahead with what I'm doing, what I'm currently working on, so that it will be a success, whatever it is. I try to stay in touch with my family as much as I possibly can, and I love them so much. My daughter, Melanie, and Dakota, and Stella, and Alexander, and my sister, and my nieces, and, you know, I truly love and enjoy these people, and I like them.
That counts
really
a
like
lot. That counts
yeah.
a lot. There's so many people that get together, and they don't really like each other.
Yeah, isn't that sad?
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, you know, I think you first have to like yourself before you can really like anybody.
Bingo.
Kind of think about who am I, and would I like me if I were just to meet me?
you know, we have too many people in this world that demand that they be respected. You can command respect by respecting yourself and respecting others.
Oh, I don't. Well, yes, you can. That's called a job.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a job.
It is. It really is. Is it true that you actually had dreams at one time of becoming a figure skater?
Oh, I not even dreams. I was practicing.
No kidding.
Oh, yes. I lived in Minnesota where there's 10,000 lakes.
Oh, yeah. They all freeze over.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, I was born during the height of the Depression. And so there wasn't enough money, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But my wonderful daddy, Ben Hedren, got enough money together to buy me a pair of figure skates. And I had friends who were taking figure skating lessons. And we didn't have the money so that I could take the lessons, but I could sit and watch and listen. And then I'd go home after those lessons and go out on one of our little ponds or lakes or whatever around our house in Morningside, Minnesota, and I'd practice and practice and practice.
Aww.
And that is what I wanted to be. And the following year, when we were to start skating again, in the fall, you know, when it got iced over and all that, I had to have an operation on my left foot. And I couldn't, all those years ago, they didn't let you do anything for a year after an operation. So I couldn't skate that year. The following year, I had an emergency appendectomy, and I couldn't skate. And after that, you know, the feeling was gone. You know, life changed, and we moved to California.
Do you think that maybe that's part of fate, that you were meant to do what you did?
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Because so many people say, well, you know, if, what if? If you keep doing what if, you're never going to get anything done.
Oh, that's true. And, you know, I was talking about those doors, you know, and as soon as I got out into California, another door opened for me. And, you know, it was to be in a film.
Now, did the film come before your modeling?
No. I had modeled for 11 years, and in the 50s, and I was living in New York, and I was with Eileen Ford, and you know, in the 50s, the advent of the television set came into all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And with that came the television commercials. And so I started doing television commercials, which was just great because the residuals were paid so much and they were so successful, and I did a lot of them. And I was able to take 3 months off and go around the world.
Nice.
Yes, it was.
But it also gave you...
And then I had Melanie, and then in 61, you know, it was kind of, my career was kind of fading, and I thought, oh, Melanie, let's go to California. And so we packed up our puppy and our kitty and the, you know, and the bunny, and we all went to move to Los Angeles, and I we hadn't been there, of course, and of course I have to rent a very expensive home in Westwood, and I'm thinking, how am I going to pay for this?
I love you.
And I was really getting worried and scared, and one day I received, Friday the 13th of October, 1961, I received a call asking if I was the girl in the Seiko commercial,
mm-hmm.
and I said yes, and I said, why? And she said, well, there's someone who would like to meet with you, a director. And I went, oh, boy. Ooh, light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And I said, who is it? And they said, well, come over and meet with us, and we'll talk about it. So I went over to MCA, which was the biggest talent agency in California, in the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to these people, and they said... after quite a bit of conversation, they said, all right, here's a contract, and if you read through and study the contract and understand it and sign it, you know, we'll, and we're going to leave the room, and you do that, and then call us when you're finished.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that, and I finished it and called them in back into the room, and they said, wonderful, fine, we're now going to go over and meet Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, I picked my jaw off the floor,
uh-huh.
And that's what we did.
Amazing.
And I was under contract to him before I met him.
Amazing. Yeah, I got to tell you, you're still beautiful. What do you do to stay as gorgeous as you are?
You know, a lot of people are telling me that, and I don't know what it is. I use very simple, cosmetic treatments or whatever. In
yeah.
fact, it's everything you could just buy on the, you know,
on the shelf.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is.
Do you exercise or do supplements?
Oh yes, I do.
Yeah,
I exercise before I leave my bedroom.
Cool.
I do my whole workout before I even leave my bedroom. Because otherwise, you know, when you don't do that all day long, you're thinking, I've got to do my workout. I got to do it.
And
so I just get it done before I get out of my bedroom.
And you feel off if you don't do it.
Oh, yeah, you do. And mm-hmm. in a couple of days, you really feel it.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, what about supplements? Do you take, like, vitamins or anything?
A ton.
Oh, good. Thank God I finally found somebody. I tell everybody I rattle when I walk. You know?
Yeah. Oh, and I drink the best. I eat well, and I really spend a lot of effort taking care of getting the right foods and drinking a lot of water during the day. And you know,
do you have any pets?
But I don't make a big deal out of it. I just do it.
Yeah, it's part of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any pets?
Oh, a lot. I only have one cat now.
One cat, okay.
One kitty. Of course, I have the lions and tigers, and I'm looking out at a beautiful tiger named Mona right now, and she's so cute. When I the other night, I was dozing off, and the lion started to roar, and she, as a tiger, started to roar. Now they speak entirely different languages.
Really?
And it was so interesting to hear the lions roaring and a tiger at the same time, because they don't even live in the same continents in the wild.
Uh-huh.
And it was just such a beautiful thing. I wished I'd had a recording of it, because it was so unusual.
Wow. What a life you have, Tip.
I have a great life, and you can come and visit, you know.
Really?
Yes.
I would love to see it.
Look us up on Shambhala, Shambala.org.
I would love to.
Zambala.org.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Now, your book, where is it out yet?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And yeah, and I've been on the first, bestseller list and all kinds of wonderful things.
Fabulous. So we can get it any place.
Yeah, it's called Tippi.
Mm-hmm.
T-I-P-P-I.
I love it.
I'm promoting it right now, and frankly, I'm exhausted.
I bet. Yeah. And you know what? I would love to talk with you more, but I understand they said half hour only, so I said, okay, but can I maybe some other time talk with you again? Okay.
Of course you can. Call Harlan.
Okay.
And make an arrangement.
You're fantastic, Tippi.
You're wonderful to talk to. Thank you.
And I appreciate your time because I know you've got a whole lot of people to talk to. And I appreciate that you allowed me to do the questioning.
Well, I'm delighted. And for all of your listeners, please look at animals like thinking, feeling beings and protect them.
Yeah. And because they need it, you know.
Yes, they do.
We'll get into that the next time around. How's
that?
Okay,
good. I'll look forward to it.
Tippi, thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Tippi Hedren. The book is called Tippi. It's her memoir, and I can hardly wait to get my hands on one so I can read all the different things, but love to have her back. She is just such a neat, straightforward, honest, charismatic person. That's the best I can say.
And isn't she wonderful, Ken? I mean, this interview was in 2016, so she was, up there in years, you know.
9 years ago.
Now she's 95. Her last movie that she did was in 2017 called The Ghost and the Whale. I did not see that. I'm going to have to look that up just out of curiosity. In that time, in 2017, she was 87. And still doing movies, but that was the last one.
One thing that didn't come up.
What?
How did you get the name Tippi?
Oh, that's a good question. I should have asked that.
Yeah.
I'll find out. Oh, you know me. I will find out why her name is Tippi.
Well, it's not tipsy, so we know it's
no,
not.
No. And it's T-I-P-P-I, and that's the name of her book, Tippi.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that she was a model for 11 years before, you know, the acting thing started. And she was with Eileen Ford, the modeling agency, which was like the primo modeling agency in the country at that time. And just to be with them was a great thing. And then the figure skating, how sad. You know, she really loved figure skating. And, you know, but life hands you some stuff that you don't want, but you just have to deal with it. And that's all there is to it. What I would love for us to do is to go down to the preserve, Shambhala.
Right.
It still exists because the Roar Foundation, because they did that, they did make that movie Roar 1981. The foundation still exists. And that preserve is still there. And she did invite us to go down. So, and that was a few years ago. But I think we should go down there. And they do tours. They do picnics. You can't touch the animals. You can't be close because they're wild animals. And she wants to keep them that way. But I understand it is a huge reserve. And it's all cats, you know, lions and tigers. And I don't know what all else.
And it's in Los Angeles County. So it's down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's north of L.A. in Acton, California.
Right. Right.
It's actually in Acton. And they, like I said, they do safaris, sunset safaris. They have adoptive parents that kind of, you know, you can adopt an animal and helps to keep it going because it is by the Roar Foundation. So, you know, it's one of those things that can you imagine what the cost would be to keep a preserve like that going and how much they eat? I mean, it's got to be, and to keep them healthy. And obviously, this has been going on for a long time. And you got to admire somebody who just puts all her heart and soul in that. So I love talking with her. I wish I could do it again, but I'm not going to give up yet. I don't give up that easy. But she did several other movies. I mean, besides The Birds and Marnie, Land of the Free, Countess from Hong Kong, The Ghost and the Whale, which I mentioned earlier. That was the last movie that she did. But she just seemed like a nice person and really very honest. If she thought something was not right, boy, she spoke out. And I admired that because too much now it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Well, she did. And by golly, she stood up to Alfred Hitchcock and good girl.
you know, for doing what she did. It's amazing, those kinds of people. Right, Ken?
Alfred was not very tall, so she probably looked down on Alfred Hitchcock instead of stood up to
him. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, power. Power and money, money and power, they're interchangeable, Ken. Okay, well, anyway, thanks so much, Ken. I appreciate it. And what a talent. And I'm so sad that she's not, at least at this point, up to doing any interviews. But we will always have the birds and Marnie and all her other appearances to remember her wonderful years. And again, you can check out Shambhala, Shambhala, shambhala.org, to check out the preserve and what they do down there. And it's open to tourists. And you can see the greatest love in her life, and that's protecting the animals. And again, thanks to Ken for sharing his insights, and Greg, our engineer, for pulling it all together, and to all of you for being with us on Pop Star Talk. Remember, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.